You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
State of Wonder, Ann Patchett's latest novel, imagines a tribe of indigenous people in Brazil's Amazon region whose women remained fertile until the very end of their lives. A researcher from an American pharmaceutical company has gone there to discover their secret, and so begins a compelling narrative, equal parts thriller, medical mystery, adventure story, and morality tale. It's published by Harper, and I'm very pleased it has brought Ms. Patchett back to our show today. Hello.
Hey.
Your earlier novel, Bel Canto, which was a bestseller and won all those awards, was also set in South America. What's brought you back?
I was worried about that, actually. I thought people are going to think I'm in a rut. But then I figured it was an entire continent, and I could put two novels there.
Story is very different.
It's very different. I mean, Lima is like Paris and has no connection to the Amazon whatsoever. Plus, this is in Brazil. I was looking for a location that had malaria and also had some sort of medical magic to it, because I wanted a bait and switch. They're developing a drug that's very profitable, and then it turns out they're working on a drug that is not so profitable. So I looked at all the places on the map with malaria and then tried to figure out which one might also support another kind of drug.
Well, did you visit the part of Brazil where most of this book is set, Manaus and the Rio Negro area?
The answer is yes and no. I went to the Amazon. I didn't go to Manaus. And I actually wound up in the Peruvian Amazon. I had plans.
You can't get away from Peru.
I can't get away from Peru. I wanted to be on a boat on the river, and I couldn't find the right boat in Brazil. They were all these big cruise ships, and I wanted a little boat. And my friend Renee Fleming was going to be singing in the opera house in Manaus. So she said, go to Peru, and then you'll go back to Manaus with me. And at the last minute, the show got canceled. And I never made it to Manaus.
And you miss seeing those two rivers, the Rio Negro and I can't remember the name of the other river. They flow into each other, and for miles they flow side by side, a black stream
yes.
and a regular river stream,
yes.
until eventually they integrate in the Amazon River.
Exactly. The mouth of the Amazon is in Peru, though. So I did. Apparently they have the birthplace of the Amazon.
Well, now that the political leadership has changed in Peru, there's probably another novel there. Maybe Mario Vargas Llosa will write it. Your heroine, Dr. Marina Singh, is a researcher for a Minnesota-based pharmaceutical company, and she is sent to Brazil to find her former teacher, Dr. Annick Swenson, the fertility drug researcher, after a coworker has died on the same mission. Is that a reasonable summation?
I think that's very, very good. I wish you would come with me on this whole book tour and stand up and say this is what the book is about, because I cannot ever get it condensed quite so articulately.
Had you wanted to write about the pharmaceutical industry at first?
No. I wanted to write about an adult student who meets her former teacher. Because that's a dynamic that I have had experience with both as a student and as a teacher. And when you're a student who really loves a particular teacher, you form your whole self. I mean, there are a couple of teachers who have made me the person I am right now. They don't remember me. They had thousands of students. I was a quiet kid in the back. And likewise, I have run into old students of mine 15, 20 years later who say, I was going to medical school. I took your class. I dumped it. I became a writer. I'm now teaching English. And I think your parents must want to kill me, right? But I don't even remember this person. How could I change someone's life and not remember them?
Well, this story has a lot of plausibility, a kind of plausibility, because we do hear about these miracle drugs that come out of the Amazon,
right.
Or get synthesized into miracle drugs. Are you finding that some people believe that this story of a fertility drug in the remote region of the Amazon allows women to bear children well into their 70s? Do they believe that this is something that is based on fact?
Yes. It's just insane to me. I've done all sorts of interviews where people have said, I was Googling the Lakashi tribe, and I couldn't find them. You know, what part of the Amazon are they in?
They think that the Lakashi tribe is also a real tribe, not a figment of your imagination?
Not named after my favorite breakfast cereal, Kashi. No, I made it all up. But I do think that now everyone has a smartphone and they Google everything, and people don't understand that there are actually made up things that you can't find on Google.
But what about made-up things in novels? Isn't that the whole idea of novels?
It is for me, but I don't have a smartphone. I do think that people are really married to facts now. I can always find the fact.
Well, it's also because you've created a plausible situation here. It's kind of like things that we know, no?
Yeah, maybe so.
Marina grew up in Minnesota, but her father was from India. Why did you want to create a main character who's culturally American but ethnically mixed?
All sorts of reasons. One, I wanted Marina, who loves Minnesota, to feel like an outsider because she is the dark-haired girl in the land of the fair-haired darlings. And when she goes down to the Amazon, where she does not want to go, it's the first time in her life that people don't turn around and look at her. So I wanted that dichotomy. I wanted her to have had the experience of going to a country that had malaria as a child because she takes larium and then re-experiences the larium again as an adult.
Now, is larium a real drug?
Yes. That's the kicker. Larium is a real drug, and it's a drug I've taken. I didn't have the experience of psychosis, but a lot of people do.
And that allows you to play with the whole idea of the narration. This is a third-person narration, but you feel that at times the larium is playing a role in the way the story is being told.
Yes, that's true. And I think that larium really does play a role with people. I mean,
what happened to you when you were taking it? Did it change the way you perceived the world?
No, but I had a very strong and apparently rare reaction to it. I had something called Stevens-Johnson syndrome, where the whole inside of my mouth and throat blistered and fell off, which wasn't a big deal. I couldn't taste my food for about 3 months.
Even your favorite cereal.
Exactly, exactly. But my doctor told me to never take larium again. She said, if that's what happens the first time you take it, it gets worse.
So people have allergic reactions to certain malarial drugs. But what do you do? Are there any alternatives?
Well, there are a lot of different anti-malarial drugs, but
it used to be just quinine.
Oh, that was a long – we've come a long way from quinine. Larium is the only drug that covers all the different forms of malaria. So you can go to places that only have maybe 3 or 2 different strains of malaria, and they'll give you another drug.
Dr. Swenson, who's in this in the Amazon, refuses to send progress reports back to the company that's funding her research. But because the company has already invested so much in her research, they don't want to cut her off. So they need to find out whether they even have something marketable and when. And they send Marina's research partner, Dr. Anders Ekman, to find her. And when the story opens, we learn that Dr. Ekman has died of a fever there.
Yes, yes.
So then Marina has to go.
Right. And she really doesn't want to go. Anders wanted to go because he was a great birder and he thought it was going to be a fun trip. But she doesn't want to go because she's frightened. She doesn't want to leave Minnesota, but also because Dr. Swenson had been her terrifying mentor teacher in medical school and through her residency. And she both worshipped Dr. Swenson and was just so afraid of her.
Well, many readers have remarked on a Heart of Darkness aspect to this story. Marina has to make this arduous trip down a dangerous river to get to Dr. Swenson's research station. And when she finds her, Dr. Swenson is hardly welcoming. Was Joseph Conrad's tale an inspiration?
It was, but not until I was about halfway through the book. Oddly enough, when I started, I was thinking about the Henry James novel, The Ambassadors, which, when you boil it down, is the same structure. Character A goes missing, character B is dispatched to bring back character A, and what character B discovers is that character A is having a really good time. So I was halfway into the novel that when I first started to think, wait a minute, this is also Heart of Darkness.
But you also probably had seen Apocalypse Now, which
sure.
Francis Ford Coppola transposed Heart of Darkness to Vietnam.
And much more important than that, I had seen all the Werner Herzog movies.
A Gare of the Wrath of God.
And Fitzcarraldo. Those are the influences on this book.
So is this just one of those great stories that invites adaptation, like Pride and Prejudice or Romeo and Juliet?
Well, you know, I think that there are only about 5 melodies and we can just hum them in different ways. There are not a wide variety of plots out there. You know, there is the search, there is the character goes missing, there is the homecoming narrative. So I got one of the popular ones.
And then there's another character goes missing part of the story, because when Marina gets to Manaus and everything seems to be falling apart, her luggage is lost. She comes down with some kind of nasty fever. The bohemian couple who might know where Dr. Swenson is give her the runaround. She winds up going to the opera, opera that you couldn't go to.
Yes, it's true.
And it's Orfeo and Eurydice.
Yes, which really gives a strong plot line for the book, another great influence for this novel. That had to do with a couple of things. One, the opening of Fitzcarraldo, of course, is in the opera house in Manaus, and I had to bow my head to Herzog and that film. But also, when I wrote Bel Canto, I didn't know anything about opera, and I have gone into the opera world with all of my heart since then. Opera has really become my life. So I thought, wouldn't it be fun to write an opera scene when I actually knew what I was talking about?
You also explore a lot of moral issues, like the effect even benign foreigners have on isolated tribes. Do you think a Westerner changes the course of history just by showing up in one of those remote areas? Kind of like the butterfly effect?
I was just going to say, well, if you believe in the butterfly effect, then yes. Yes, I think that we all impact each other, bump around, and move the course of nature. Absolutely.
I've read about any number of tribes in the Amazon who, on the one hand, regret having had the contact with the outsiders. On the other hand, very happy that they were able to get the stainless steel axes instead of having to use the old stone axes.
Right. I think everything's a trade-off. There's a moment when Onyx Swenson leaves her job at Johns Hopkins Medical School and takes a red eye and travels for 24 hours and arrives at the Lakashi tribe to find one of the Lakashi wearing a Johns Hopkins T-shirt that he had bought in Manaus.
And she at one point tells Marina she's not Médecin Sans Frontières.
Yeah.
She regrets the day that she saved a girl with a serious machete wound, because now they bring all of their medical problems to her.
It's true. And when I was down in the Amazon, I met a woman who was a doctor who had come as a tourist and been so overcome with people coming to her and asking for medical help that she ended up staying for 20 years. And she said people will get in a little canoe and paddle for 8 hours because they've heard that there's a doctor there. So it would be very easy to get overwhelmed as someone who had any expertise.
Does she worry that the tribesmen who used to deal with such emergencies on their own will lose their skills, and that when she leaves, they'll be worse off than they were before?
That's exactly right. She feels if she changes the balance, then she's not going to be there forever. She's in her middle 70s, and she's robbing them of their ability to keep current.
And then she's also taking their secret fertility drug. I'm not sure that the trade-off is fair.
Well, I don't think that they mind. I mean, I think what she's trying to do is make a synthetic replication of the bark in the tree and the insects and all of that.
Well, in the end, everybody has changed.
Yes.
So
yes.
Marina has definitely changed. She
Marina's
goes from being kind
of
a mousy person to somebody who has all sorts of surprising abilities.
Yes, a woman with a machete in her own hand.
So I'm assuming that, from what you've told me, that you had no idea that this book was going to turn out this way. How far along did you realize that you're writing this book?
Oh, I know right from the start.
But you said that, you know, you weren't really thinking about pharmaceuticals.
By the time you started, you had
a pretty good idea of what this book was going to be about?
That's the way I work. I mean, I know everything. So I didn't start the process with thinking about pharmaceuticals. I started with thinking about the relationship. But when I sit down to write page one, I know where it's going to end. I know the whole thing.
Oh, because most writers will tell me that they start off with something, a little image or a smell or something, and then the book leads them along.
Who are those people? It's like magic. I can't even imagine it.
Ann Padgett is the author of 5 novels, the New York Times bestselling Run, the patron saint of liars, which was a New York Times notable book of the year, Taft, which won the Jane Heidinger Kafka Prize, The Magician's Assistant, Bel Canto, which won the Penn Faulkner Award, the Orange Prize, the Book Sense Book of the Year, and was a finalist for the National Book Critics Circle Award, and now a 6th, which is called State of Wonder, and it is published by Harper. Thank you so much for being with us again.
It was great to see you. Thank you.